Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
So, like, I was thinking about this. Like, obviously, if Chicago was good at anything right now, like, that's a market that kind of just sucks. Like, I know the Cubs won it all less than 10 years ago. But let's be real. Like, I don't think they've won a playoff series. Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, you know, Bears. In forever, it feels like. What, 2017?
It's
almost
long time.
10 years.
It's been a long time.
All those sports. And I don't think the Blackhawks have won since 2015, I saw, over the internet. So Washington, like, they've been pretty putrid. Now, I know that the Nationals won it all, so that kind of, like, erases.
Capitals have been good. They won a Stanley Cup.
When?
They finally got out to Snidebop. What was that, 4 years ago?
A couple years ago.
Oh,
couple
was
years
that
ago
short?
2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Because the Washington football team has been awful.
They've been awful. The Wizards have been awful.
Oh, Wizards have been awful.
Yeah.
Like, their high watermark might have been the Jameson, you know, Gilbert Arenas version with Larry Hughes.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's crazy.
Boy, oh boy. If Philadelphia wins. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. I know it's a special holiday. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. They got the brother working. Of course they do. I'm kidding. It's a joke. I just wanted to see all your faces here. All you guys get tight a little
bit. Must have got the memo. He's out.
He's out today? Yeah. Damn.
He's on that Draymond sketchy.
I believe Little Durrell is doing a Martin Luther King like speech or something Santa Clara.
So nice.
Yeah. Very cool.
For supporting the son. I'm also for supporting the kids. I'm all for that. But how many people right now support the decision to trade Jordan Poole away? Because a lot of Warrior fans after that game were like, Bonte, we missed Poole. What the hell? Poole. In case you don't know, Saturday night, Poole said this after the game about facing his former team.
Yeah, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. Really good group, really good staff. Shout out to the fans. Saw a lot of 3 jerseys out there, a lot of JP3 jerseys, which is always really cool and always get a lot of love. Spent some good quality time here, and it's dope to see it. Appreciate it.
If I were to pull 10 fans the day that Jordan Poole was traded, how many are with a high approval are saying that they love Jordan Poole?
Don't know. At the time, it was a lot of conflicting factor. Even
was it 50-50?
I was talking about boy Drew Payne yesterday. Shout out to Drew Payne, who just celebrated his birthday to Painters. Brought up Jordan Poole, and he was on the phone. He says, well, Jordan Poole couldn't stay on the floor. He couldn't handle the ball. He couldn't do this. And I was like, true. The season was a wreck. Like, how could he? I mean, yeah, granted, I could hear a fan say, well, he gets paid millions of dollars, and he got the contract. Buck up and get over it. Easier said than done. Now, Draymond Green knows how impactful it was because he replied to Mark Spears' tweet late Saturday night, 10:37 p.m. to be exact, and he said, after Mark Spears tweeted out the quote, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. And everybody saw most, huh? And everybody picked the word. You know how we do it on the internet. We pick apart words. Then Draymond Green replied, I really am sorry. So I think Draymond Green, I think he's felt like this for a long time. I can't speak to how he feels. I don't know what's going inside his dome, but I think he's felt the guilt knowing that, man, I'm watching Jordan Poole, who's a champion. We won a championship together, and he's dapping up everybody but me. I'm the odd man out because of my own actions. So my own actions I feel accountable for, and now we're in this position. But to see it on Twitter, I think a lot of people gave a side eye to the reply saying, man, we don't need to see this on the public forum. That's for you and JP, right? I mean, it was just... I thought it was a fake tweet. I was just really surprised that he replied to Mark Spears saying, I really am sorry. I was shocked. I was stunned. I was just like, wow.
Did you think that it accomplished anything other than PR?
I don't know what it accomplished. PR, I don't know what it accomplished. If it accomplished
anything clearly,
at
like,
all.
Jordan Poole's not going to, like, whatever issues he has, a tweet ain't solving them.
Mm-mm. Well.
So is it a self-serving thing?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, Shasky, but I know Wizards guard Jordan Poole has NBA All-Star aspirations to be in a 3-point shootout. So we'll
here
see about that.
Here in the
here chasing.
That would be cool.
That will be cool because I think a lot of fans still do love Jordan Poole. They still love him, and it was proven Saturday night when he was making shots. Some were like, "Damn, we had that guy." And in the vision of what does it look like now, 2 years later, in a league that caters to offense and spacing and 3-point shooting, and the Warriors are the worst free throw shooting team in the league. They're middle of the pack in 3-point shooting. Right now, they got a bunch of dudes cold from the outside, and they're playing inconsistently because they have a lot of injuries on this team. So you're yo-yoing lineups left and right. 23 different starting lineups for the season. They played 41 games. Think about that. 23 different starting lineups, and they played 41 games. It's you can't gain traction in this league when you're consistently having to switch up your lineups and your roles for players. And so you're in a tough spot if you're Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob. And this stretch right now, 7 of the next 8 at home after playing Saturday night at Chase Center. I think it's a season-defining stretch for the Golden State Warriors. We're going to find out what they may do at the deadline and what the season may look like after this stretch.
Okay. How many games does Draymond play? Like,
well, he's out for the next few games at least, I think. It's a left calf strain. I don't know how long.
Tonight's game 42, right?
Yep.
He's played in 34.
Yep.
So he will have missed 8 games. Okay. So after tonight, that's 8 games. Mm-hmm. You think he misses the next 3 or 4?
It doesn't sound like he's going to come back soon. He had the MRI, left calf strain. How many guys are out with a left calf strain? How many times?
It felt like GP2 was out 3.
He's out 10 games.
How many weeks was that? 3, 4
About
weeks?
About 3 weeks in the NBA. 10 games.
10 games? Whew.
Yeah.
Boy, I might win this bet before February.
You might. You might.
I mean, you might. It might be money time.
You might.
Money time.
You might. Give me the meat.
You might. I'm not inviting Spadoni Lumen, though. They could.
I love how angry he gets because of a deal he made with his chest.
These guys just jumped into the bed. It had nothing to do with these guys.
Can I ask you this question?
It had nothing to do with you, Spadoni. Nothing to do with you. And now you want to tag along during a weeknight to go to House of Prime Rib.
I would like to, yeah.
Can I ask you this?
The spinach is really good.
Is the rest of this team...
You never did? Oh, my God.
Hey, come on, you got to bring me now.
Yeah, I do got to bring you.
When Draymond's not on the floor, are they a better team?
Well, the spacing's better.
This year.
Period. The spacing's better. The spacing
but
is
are
better.
Are they a better team?
I don't know if they're a better team.
What is their record without him? I don't even know.
I think it's like 4-4.
So they're about what they are with him.
They have a good record with Curry. Like,
it feels like,
five
a lot of ancillary pieces play better.
Well, it's different roles, and I don't know if they're better without Draymond because defensively you may lose something. Who knows? It's a game-by-game basis. The problem is when you have a roster like this, you're not going to get consistent performances from everybody every single night. The one consistent is Stephen Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Wiggins has been consistent.
He's been really good.
Kuminga was starting to become consistent.
Yeah,
but other than that, there's a lot of inconsistencies on this roster. So it's a tough question to answer when you said, are they better without Draymond Green? It looks a lot different without Draymond Green. It does. But Oscar Stockton, he wants to call in because he believes we're being a little too negative about the Golden State Warriors. What's up, Oscar? Good morning.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I want to go back to Spadoni the other day. I mean, everything that comes out of their mouth is about the work. It seems like the work organization don't know what the hell they're doing, and we garbage. Okay, we do have some problems on our team. But just like everybody else in the NBA have problems. But for the everyday, the insults and the insults, like the Warriors is at the bottom of the pack. Man, I give Steph credit. Steph Curry a lot of credit. Steve Kerr, Joe Lacob, a lot of credit. Because one thing about the fan base we got now, they go jump on and they jump off. It's okay to not win a championship every year. It's okay to go through ups and downs. It's okay that we also have a lot of injuries to a lot of our key young players. But for us to keep on coming down the same road every morning, it's always going to turn back to Draymond Green. Always.
Well, he's the arsonist.
Okay, but guess what? The fire been over with. Did you watch Jordan Poole last night? I watched all the games. Did you watch the game with his coach did to him last night? A lot of players are like playing with Jordan Poole. Did you watch the game last night?
No, I'm not watching the Kings. I was watching the NFL.
Forget the NFL. I watched the Kings game last night. Just to see what Jordan Poole was going to do. And Jordan Poole did the same thing he always do. And they pulled him out the game because he out there playing around the court. My whole thing is that The Warriors season is not even over with. It's not even over with. And I can't wait till they shut a lot of you guys' mouth, because the simple fact is that the roster is not built to, for a championship team, but they're not giving up. And I believe in Steph Curry, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr. I believe in them. So,
all right, Oscar. Hey, I'm not mad at him. He believes in his organization. And you know what? There's a lot of fans like Oscar who do believe in this team, that they believe they could bring it, they could turn it around. Now, Sam Lubman, you brought this article in from ESPN.com. Who's the author again? What's his name?
Om Yummysook. He is the Warriors reporter for ESPN.
Yeah, I've been seeing him around chasing our lot this season. He's been covering the Dubs. So he has a story. This is from this morning?
Correct. It dropped like right around when the show started.
All right, so there's some quotes in here from Curry. It's very volatile right now in terms of the emotional roller coaster this year, similar to what it was like that championship season. I think it's a challenge for us to try to just maintain confidence in what we're doing and what we're building. And until we run out of time, we have to maintain it. Now, later on in this article, they're talking about the Heat game in which they lost when Miami came in on the back end of a back-to-back, playing a double overtime against Sacramento the night before. And they were talking about the meetings. And one Western Conference executive told ESPN, the Warriors are frustrated. Still, the exec, along with other Western Conference rival front office members, said the Warriors have indicated that if they make any moves, it will likely be closer to the deadline, which is why I think this stretch of games for the Warriors with 8-9 coming at home, where are you at? Are you 6-3 after the 9? Are you 7-2 after the 9? Are you 5-4? Are you 4-5? Are you 3-6 like you were in the previous 9-game stretch before you went on the road for 4 games? That could dictate what Dunleavy and Lacob does with this team. And I think anybody and everybody's on the table with the exception of Stephen Curry. I really believe that this organization, they're having those conversations right now saying everybody's on the block with the exception of Stephen Curry. Now, I don't have any validity to that. That's just my gut and what it's telling me. And my gut is big right now. Trust me. I've been eating well. And sometimes it's right. But I do think everything will be on the table if they do scuffle during the stretch of games coming up over the next 8.
Yeah, this is a big stretch. I feel like we've been saying that for quite some time.
This is the one, though.
And
this
the trade deadline looming over everything. You just don't know what's happening. And then Draymond not being available, it's not good.
But you believe the Warriors are better without Draymond Green.
Absolutely, but they could
so
use
this
that
could
20...
be a good game. This could be good, then.
Well, they need that $25 million slot, right? Like, it's a team that needs that financial punch. But they need Kuminga back, right? Like, they miss Kuminga dramatically.
Got a lot here in this article. We'll do that. 888-957-9570. What are your thoughts about the Warriors as they get ready to tip off in less than 5 hours? A 2 o'clock start on a Monday here in the Bay Area. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Special day as the Warriors host the Celtics and try to win their third game in a row and improve to 2 games over .500. That's coming up. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Spring Water.
I can't stand to see greatness rot before my eyes.
Tatum will get it with 3. Tatum with 2. Stripped by Curry. Curry the steal from half court. Good if it goes. Got it! He hit it from half court. Number 30 doing that number 30 magic. And he stole the ball at half court and then buried the shot.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Rose with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Steph has had a look in his eyes recently, and shout out to Stephen Curry, Tim Roy on the call right there. You know, Steph has had a look in his eye over the last week where you could tell he's biting at him that they're a mid-team, and he's playing with that edge, and he's playing through injuries, and he's playing tough. And that's why I think, you know, when it comes, don't want to get into his money because I think he's worth every cent, no matter what, no matter how old he is and what he does. And he can't do it alone on his team. But damn, he's fighting. He is fighting to try to get a win, fighting to try to get this team back into a playoff spot. So when it comes to the deadline, yeah, I'm kind of subscribed to what can you do to help out Steph Curry get this team back into the playoffs? What's out there? What's available? And can you reset this bad boy with the Stephen Curry on your team? And I definitely believe so. I definitely believe so. So the way Curry sees it in this ESPN article, he says 3 really good teams who've kind of separated themselves from the rest of the league: Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, I believe, has a 6-game lead on Houston. Could be wrong there, 5.5, 6 games, whatever. But they separated themselves from the rest of the pack. There's another bucket of teams, Curry said, that just want to get to the playoffs healthy with momentum and know anything can happen in the playoff series with a title being a goal. We just want to be in that bucket. And that's attainable despite some of our struggles this year. And right now, you look at it, when he talks about the standings and whether or not it's attainable or not, Shasky, and nobody's going to buy it right now because they're 21-20. But this thing could flip in a heartbeat. It's flipped for the Kings in just 2 weeks. Boom, boom, boom. They're 9-1 in the last 10. Now they jump off the ninth place. They're in 12th and 13th. Now the Warriors are 11th, but they're tied with Phoenix for the 10th spot. They're half game behind the Kings and the T-Wolves. They beat the T-Wolves 3-4 this year. They are, although they lose the tiebreaker against the Clippers, they are three back of the five spot in the Western Conference. So it's crazy. I know, you could laugh, but they are three games back in the loss column. Now their form, yeah, they haven't been good over the last 25 games. We get that. We get that. After the 12-3 start, it's been a nightmare. But you can rectify your season, but can you do it with the guys you have on the roster right now? I don't know that because they've been hurt all damn season.
I would buy that this team has flipped it around. If you gave me a 6-12, somewhere in that range, game sample, mm-hmm. You don't even have to win 6, 7, 8 in a row. That's not what I'm saying. Just look like a team that's willing to compete and play desperate basketball on both ends for a good chunk of those games. You know, like long stretches. Prove to me that you can take good shots. Prove to me you can get consistent stops mm-hmm. in a row. You know, like... I just, until I see it for a long stretch, and for a long stretch, I mean 2 weeks. Like, it's hard for me to believe. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It's plausible, but you got to show it.
You have to show it. You got to play. You got to win 80-10. You got to win, and you're running out of time here. You're at the halfway point as we assess the Warriors 41 games in. 888-957-9570. What would your grade be for the Warriors through the first 41 games of the season? Because the expectations coming into the season, I had no idea what to expect. I had no clue.
What were you hoping?
Hoping for a playoff series.
Me too.
Hoping for a playoff series.
I thought that was the high end. That would have been, you make the playoffs, it would have been like an A season.
And look, there's 41 games left. The playoffs are not off the table. The season's not over at all. Not at all. But you're going to play a lot of road games in the month of February. And the teams that you thought were just gimmies, like Toronto and Brooklyn and Detroit and Sac and Portland, they're no longer gimmies because of the way you're playing basketball. The Warriors, that is. They haven't played great offensive basketball, as Seth said a couple weeks ago. They put the mid, as a young kid say, they put the mid in being mediocre. They're a mid team right now. But they can flip this thing. But can they get healthy? But what grade would you give them through the first 41 games of the season? Think about your expectations. They start 12-3. The vibes are great. Everybody's calling in. Everybody's talking championship. And, oh, my God, what a special team. Wow, Buddy Hield is doing everything he can. And now, all of a sudden, Buddy Hield can't buy a basket. And all of a sudden, the Warriors have scuffled since that 12-3 start. So how would you assess the Warriors through 41 games? What grade would you give them?
I'd give them a C-. And the reason why I'm giving them a C-, it's not the overall record. For me, it's the amount of games down the stretch that I feel like they fumbled away. Now, Evan Giddings was in the back. He goes, so they're actually a winning team in crunch time. They have more wins than losses. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that might be true statistically. My eyeballs are telling me this is one of the worst clutch teams I've ever seen during the Steph era, obviously. And I'm looking at, like, him and Dre and Wiggins, the top dogs on this team, and they're closing out of games. And I think it's been a little lackluster. I'm baking into the fact that you have gotten some great contributions from Kuminga and TJD, specifically TJD the last month and a half, but Pajemski hasn't been good at all. Simultaneously, you've had moments where Buddy's look good and then long stretches where he's looked horrible, right? So to me, like, I'm going more eyeball, body of work feels like a C-.
I like that grade. I gave him a C as well. You're 21-20. In clutch games, by the way, they're 500. They just won two straight clutch games.
They're not over.
They won two straight games.
Okay.
They were 11-13, and then they beat Minnesota, which was technically a clutch game.
How many?
13-13. They're 13-13.
26
clutch games.
Pretty much half.
But you know, there's so many of these clutch games. Like, they lost a game in Phoenix, right? And the clutch game, by definition in the NBA, is the game within 5 points within the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Well, there was a game in Phoenix where they were down like 13. They made a run, but it never felt like they were going to win that game. So I'm like, how clutch is it?
Was that the one where they kept all the bench guys in and the starters were on the bench?
Something
and
he kind of rode Saturday with night, them? Saturday night.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And so some of these clutch games, by definition, I'm like, was that really a close game?
It's like a quality start, you know, in baseball.
You're up 10. Yeah, exactly. You're up 10
the
with 10
worst
minutes left.
Stat ever.
You're up 10 with 10 minutes left. Or you're up 15, and it's, you know, the team goes on a little run and get a little life.
Yeah,
and
all you're sudden, on control.
It's a clutch game. You know what I mean?
But I hear you.
But technically, they're 13-13, but they have won, you know, they have won two straight clutch games. So
if you would have told me they were 7-39, I would have believed that.
Yeah.
In clutch games.
No doubt. So, I mean, they're 500 in clutch games. They're 500 basically when it comes to their record of 21-20. They were just 10-10 at home. What? And that's another thing, too. So another thing with this team, the last 2 years they have not won at home. Their home court advantage has dissipated.
Well, now aren't your role players supposed to play better at home?
They are, but they've got one. Last year they were 21-20 at home.
See, to me that the way I would diagnose that, when the role players don't know what their role is on any given night, how can they hang their hat on something at home when they have no idea how they're going to be utilized?
Well, exactly, but you're at home where you would think that the home court advantage will help, and right now. You know, the fans, you know, a lot of fans tell me, well, they need to give me something to cheer about. They need to give me something to cheer about. Sometimes you may have to pick these boys up, man, as a fan, right? I mean, that's what fans do. That's what the special fans say. We got to pick up our team.
That's
the
lack of
energy. And the lack of energy inside that building at times is alarming.
Well, that's, I would say to you, this is a bigger issue than just the Warriors at home. I think the league as a whole. I went over to the studio over there, and Spadoni had on the Hornets versus the Mavericks. The first five shots were chuck threes off the back of the iron, and it was like open run at the YMCA. And I'm saying to myself, like, as a fan, I pay, you know, whatever I pay to come into that game, and that's not the best watch.
No. You got to have more balance. You got to have balance.
So, like, I think that there is something to be said for the league as a whole having an issue with style of play, and I think that does affect the product on the floor.
It does.
And the crowd arena and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's definitely a possibility. It's a valid point.
Wiggins' final five thing.
But I don't know if I would have go that
crazy
with that.
I like that idea. I'm open to that.
But you got to do something to fix the game. Now, the Warriors did have a lot more balance Saturday night against the Wizards. They outscored them in the paint 58-24. And so they're going inside a lot, getting 2 feet in the paint, penetrating and kicking. And that's where the Warriors are at their best, when they're more of a balanced attack. They settle for the mid-range jumper. They get to the line. They get some of that. So, you know what? They've got to be better at home. The last 2 years, it's been one of the more underreported storylines of the Golden State Warriors over the last two seasons. They are 500 at home.
Well, they don't shoot well, it feels like, at home.
Which is crazy. It's absurd to me. They're 21-20 last year at home. Right now they're 11-10.
So
they have to reestablish their home court advantage before they do anything and want to go on the playoff run. Teams are coming in here to Chase Center and feeling way too damn comfortable. Way too comfortable.
So they're halfway through the season right now. What do they do well?
Right now, what do they do well?
So, like, I'll let you think about it. What's gone well for them this year? Well, I would say TJD's development over the last month and a half.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Andrew Wiggins. Those things have gone well. Steph is still some version of excellent Steph.
No doubt.
What else?
Defensively, I feel like they've been better. They feel a little more quicker defensively, like at the point of attack.
Is that the Schroeder effect?
I don't know if that's the Schroeder effect. Maybe he's melting. The whole experiment of Schroeder so far has been a little disappointing, although he's trying to find it.
But
the
ball just sticks.
This ball sticks in his hands a little bit offensively, and it's tough for him. It's tough for him to adjust to the system.
I'd like to see him be more of a catch-and-shoot guy.
I think the negatives have been the inconsistent lineups because of the injuries, because of the roles. When you got guys go out, all of a sudden a guy like Buddy Hield is a specialist off the bench right now with this team. But he's at the start of a number of games. You know what I'm saying? He's at the start because of the Melton injury, because of acclimating Schroeder, because of Steph's injuries, because of Draymond being out and Wiggins being out or Kuminga being out. He's at the start of slow games. So the inconsistencies with just getting a set rotation, when they finally had their set rotation, it's like, okay, cool, it's play time. And then Melton gets hurt.
Melton was going to be very important, but I don't know. Maybe I'm being a hater. I don't think Melton was going to make or break this. Like, turn this team into a 50-plus win team.
No, but we would at least saw this team in a role slotted for guys where they know their roles coming in, you know, game in and game out. It's just like the Giants. We talked about the Giants for so long under Farhan Zaidi. Guys are driving to Oracle Park. Am I going to bat third or fifth today? Or am I even going to play? Am I platooning? It kind of had that same effect with the Warriors where, like, am I starting? Am I playing 15 minutes? Am I playing 30 minutes? And so that kind of affects a player's psyche there when you don't even have a routine because of all the inconsistencies due to the injury. So that's, to me, that's been one of the biggest issues on this team. And now you could say, well, Bonte, they're getting older. This is what happens with older teams. And I subscribe to that. But when you have inconsistencies in terms of roles and players coming off the bench or starting, you're not going to gain a lot of traction.
So I guess my pushback would be like, well, that's like rosters, right? Like Austin Slater isn't starting every day anywhere in the league, right? So I look at the Warriors. I'm just using that as an example.
He was on the Giants.
Well, that's
that's kind of my point.
That's an indictment of there. So that's who is Buddy Hield starting on in the league? No one. Maybe the Wizards, okay? Who is Moses Moody starting on in the league? Probably no one. Who is TJD starting on around the league? I'm not even hating on these guys. I'm asking sincerely. Like, Dennis Schroeder, what winning team is starting him? Maybe a couple, maybe?
This is the roster right now.
But that's...
This is the roster, and this is why I warrant, like, I don't know how much better this team is with Clay. I don't. But when a league values shooting at an all-time high in spacing, I have a problem letting go of shooters. Everybody's trying to look for shooters now. Spacing, three-point shooting, perimeter defense seems to be the thing that's in vogue in the league right now. And right now, the Warriors are they're struggling with that because of the new CBA, because of the luxury tax, because of their contracts or whatnot. And so they're going to have to, whether it's the deadline or next summer, you got to figure out how to rectify and get this roster back to where you get more, not only just two-way players, but guys who are skilled, can go to the lane, can shoot the three, and you have to get quicker and more athletic. But that is imperative for this team moving forward.
But how many good teams, I'm using air quotes, have two legitimate starters?
There's every team.
No, I'm saying they're
all the good teams.
Just two. That's what it feels like the Warriors. I'm talking about who could start on any team in the league. Wiggins and Steph Curry right now. Like that's kind of the locked in guys. Now, we could argue about Draymond and Kuminga. Right. Okay. I don't know how many teams those guys are starting for. It's hard for me to say that you're going to be a upper echelon team or even a locked playoff team when you only have two legitimate starters.
Well, that's why I pushed back when they were 12-3, say, hey, let's hold our horses here. And before we get all washed up at power rankings or whatnot, because there's going to be a lot of we didn't know game by game. Steve Kerr's got to, and that's what makes his job difficult as a coach. When you have to go to 23 different starting lineups, and you can ill afford to stabilize your roster because guys drop like flies, or Draymond leaves a game 3 minutes into it Saturday night, all of a sudden Guy Santos step right up. You're forcing a duty here to play heavy minutes when you're probably before the game knowing that Draymond's back. Okay, I'm going to have a limited role because we play the same position. You know, it's tough on a coaching staff and a coach when you don't even know what you have because you don't have consistencies with the lineup. It just is what it is. So,
can I ask this question?
You know, go ahead.
Kuminga, the one guy that we haven't talked about, how many teams is he starting on?
Don't know.
How many do we think?
Don't know.
If we just threw out a number. I don't know. Like, is it half the league?
I don't know.
Is it more or less than half the league?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
What do you think, Spadoni? Do you have an idea on this? Or Lubin?
Because you
I'm
know what?
Go a third of the league.
Third of the league, okay.
But you know what, though? The whole thing with starting, I look around the league with all these teams. They all, like, not to the extent of the Golden State Warriors, but Minnesota's had a bunch of different starting lineups.
Okay, then I'll put it in different way.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
How many teams are playing Jonathan Kuminga
30 minutes
30
a night?
30-plus minutes a game.
Oh, I think more than half the league's playing them 30 minutes
I
a night.
I would agree. So, which begs to the question of, why the hell hasn't that been happening here?
Don't know.
Right?
Don't know. Because when he does play 30 minutes a night, he's very efficient. His numbers look good. He looks like an upper echelon player. So, when he does get to 30 minutes a night, he plays very, very well.
So we've got three guys that you trust that a third to half the league would play 30 minutes a night. Steph, Wiggins, and Kuminga.
Well, I think Draymond would play 30 minutes a night.
I don't think he can hold up, but I hear you. They would want to play him.
I think he'd play 30 minutes a night on a lot of teams in this league. I do believe that. I know you're down on Draymond. Everybody's down on Draymond, but I do believe he's playing 30 minutes.
I just don't think his body will hold up, but that's a good point.
But I think he's playing 30 minutes a night.
Okay.
Schroeder was playing over 30 minutes a night in Brooklyn. Now, you can say Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Would he do that everywhere?
Point guards are valuable, and a lot of teams don't play the way the Warriors play. So Schroeder fits a lot better with a lot of other teams.
Okay.
So I do think he's a 25 to 30 minute a night guy.
I think we're coming back to, you know, the old, it's not you, it's me. Like, it might just be the Warriors got to change up their philosophy a little bit here.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that, evolving, and the one big lineup. You know, I saw this against Sacramento, where the Sacramento Kings came in, they go up 2-0. I said, damn, I think they need to go to the one big lineup, man. The two big lineups not working with them. It's not working. And because they knew they're going to make Clay a ball handler, we're going to double Steph no matter what, and we're going to make Draymond and Looney hit the floaters consistently. And we don't believe they can do that. And so Sacramento went to the one big line. I mean, the Warriors went to the one big lineup. Now, they went to it because Draymond was suspended for game three of that series. And they blow away Sacramento. They get back in the series, and the rest is history. So evolving with the times, yes, you have to get more athletic. You need more scoring. You need more bucket getters. And you got to have more balance. I think the way the Warriors play for so long, it has caught up to them. Steve Kerr mentioned it. You know, the league has caught up. So what's the counter? What is the counter? And this stretch of games, I think we're going to find out a lot from what Dunleavy and Lakeham's going to do here after the nine-game stretch going into the All-Star game. Deadline's February 6th. Now, would it surprise me if the Warriors don't make a deal? Absolutely. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me one bit if they did not make a deal, because it would tell me that maybe they're just angling for the summertime where more teams may be willing to do business with them. Because I don't know how many teams are going to do business at the deadline with all the parity in the NBA. Everybody trying to get into the play-in and the top six or whatnot. And we've seen play-in teams make a run in the playoffs before. Teams believe that now. Kind of like the wild card game in baseball. But if you don't make a deal February 6th, it tells me bigger things could be on the horizon for this organization in terms of a bigger deal come summertime, which they failed to make, but it takes two to tango. As I always keep saying, people want to come up with these trades. Oh, we should have traded for this guy and traded for that guy. It takes two to tango, folks. You don't think the Warriors were not trying? Like, that's the other.
I think where it falls down for a lot of fans, it's we understand that you're trying, but you can't say for two full seasons, like, oh, we tried at the deadline and the offseason. Oh, we tried in the offseason. Oh, we're going to try again at the deadline. We tried at the deadline. We're going to do it this offseason. Like, eventually that falls on deaf ears, right? So I understand being frustrated with that. Man, if they make no move, I think Warrior fans are going to be really disappointed.
I don't understand it, because people that everybody wanted Paul George, aren't you happy you don't have Paul George right now? How much better are the Clippers without Paul George?
How much better are you? You're not that good.
They let Paul George walk for nothing, and the Clippers are so much better. They let Paul George walk.
Well, they still have Harden and Kawhi.
But Kawhi can't stay healthy, and he just got back. You know what I'm saying? We could say Harden and Zubac, but we didn't believe in them. We didn't believe in the Clippers coming into the season. We didn't believe
Spadoni
them.
Spadoni knows. I always love Zubac.
The conversation about the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Before the season was like, oh, their pick's going to OKC, and OKC is about to pick up Cooper Flagg. Now the Clippers are fifth place right now with Kawhi Leonard back. Think about that, though. Paul George, who got a max deal with the Sixers, they let him walk for nothing and are better. So the deal that everybody wanted the Warriors to make for Paul George, I'm thankful they didn't make the deal for Paul George.
I don't know. Maybe it looks different here. I don't know.
Max deal for Paul George? Philadelphia right now is 11th place in the Eastern Conference.
And the Warriors are?
Well, they didn't get Paul George. Imagine how they would look with Paul George.
They're 11th as well?
They're tied with Phoenix for the 10th spot.
So, I mean, we're not much better off. So,
but what I'm saying,
maybe we're in the same spot.
We're not much better off, but imagine how worse you look if you gave Paul George a max deal at this age.
Oh, it wouldn't feel
great. Philadelphia has to ride that for the next 3 years.
At least it tried. Like, I don't know. I think sitting pat is just going to send a signal to the fan base that,
like, oh, it will.
It's going to send a negative tone.
Oh, I get it, and I think they know that.
Agree with you or not on that, I'm just saying, like, the general sentiment is going to be like, you didn't do anything.
Well, what if there's nothing to do?
There's always something to do.
Where was there nothing to do? Are they going to overpay for Vuk?
What does overpay mean?
I don't know. What if the Bulls are looking at, like, two first-round picks? What are they looking at? Three first-round picks. I don't know what these other teams are asking for.
This year is more likely, if they continue on the path that they're at, it's probably 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? Usually you don't find big difference makers in that spot.
I hear you. I hear you. I don't know. I don't know what they can do at the deadline here that's going to make them better for this season.
I would be surprised if it costs two first rounders.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to cost for them. But the Bulls are, who do we have on last week? They said the Bulls are notoriously difficult to deal with. They are. But I don't know what's available out there that's going to make the Warriors so much better for this season. From the names that are rumored, like, is Vuk making them so much better?
I think it helps.
It helps, but how much better? But how much better?
I mean, a couple games, but that could be the difference between being the, you know, the 7 seed and being the 11 seed.
And then what are you giving up? So I don't know. I don't know what you do here.
You got to give yourself a puncher's chance. If you're going to stay in the mix and you're not going to bottom out, you got to give yourself a puncher's chance.
So you think you should just make a trade to appease a fan base?
Sometimes I do think you have to. Yes. Sometimes I think you do.
Yeah,
it's not sound business, but you also have to understand you're in a consumer-based product, and you kind of owe it to Steph Curry a little. Like, you got to send the signal to him that you're trying.
Let's go to Dwayne in Elk Grove. Dwayne, what's happening? Steph Curry mentioned last week he knows Dunleavy's on the phone making things happen. So,
well, he said that
publicly.
He knows that.
He said that publicly. I don't think he would say that publicly if he didn't believe that privately.
Trades are hard.
Let's go to Dwayne in Elk Grove.
Isn't it a better chance to improve the team later on, and just instead of making a trade to make people happy, you know, so make good trades and good draft picks to improve the team. Wouldn't that be better than just making a trade at the deadline and picking up somebody and trying to work somebody in?
I'm kind of with you. I know, I understand where standing pat's going to fall on. People are going to be irate. People are going to be pissed off like they were a couple seasons ago.
There's no nuance.
Everybody's going to get ticked off. I already get it. I get it. But I mentioned it last week. I mentioned it the week before, and I'll mention it again. Standing pat may be your best business move for the offseason to where you can make major moves. And I do believe more teams will be able to look at their books for the foreseeable future and be willing to deal with other teams and willing to take on contracts, whether it's worth $25 million a year, $27 million a year, who knows. But I do think you'll have more options to make some moves this coming offseason. I know they failed, but Danny Ainge also for an arm and a leg for Lauri Markkanen, for crying out loud. Lauri Markkanen, that's what we go crazy for?
I do think he would help.
He would help.
You know, Potts has been pretty bad. I mean, I don't know what was going to be in that deal. It's probably going to be 1,000 first round picks.
Kuminga and Moody.
Well.
Kuminga and Moody. Kuminga has had.
No, I would have kept
as
Kuminga.
Good of a season as Lauri Markkanen.
No.
And you were going to trade him for Lauri Markkanen. That was the move.
Well, I don't know what the combinations were.
It was going to be that combination.
You think he would have been in there for sure?
Absolutely. Danny Ainge is asking for the world. That's what Danny Ainge does, though. That's what Danny Ainge
Who's
does.
The better basketball player today?
Kuminga's not far off.
I'm just asking.
Markkanen may be more polished.
Okay.
But Kuminga's giving you the same production.
But they're very different players.
Different, no doubt. They're giving you the same production. Let's go to, we got about 11 minutes in the show. Let's go to the 2024 Roaster of the Year, Tony in Oakland. Good morning, Tony.
Tony, my buddy Martin.
Good morning.
Good morning. My buddy Martin.
Good morning. Sam dropped the ball. He's supposed to do the age of Aquarius. Do you know this is the first day of Aquarius? And I know you guys get in the mix because it's all about the zodiacal signs. But first, I wanted to say that Daniels is unbelievable with the Commanders, with the Mighty Quinn, like your kid, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Right, Vontae?
He's so good.
But anyway, Daniels, that dude, he's sitting there meditating on the sideline. You know what I mean? And the dude can feel everything. I mean, that guy is unbelievable. He's got the Purdy stuff. And then you look at Stroud. Stroud can't feel anything coming. He gets hit from behind. He can't feel the motion coming the way Daniels would feel it, right? Anyway, but then I wanted to say, no, Draymond can resurrect himself because he's already got an in with to do it again. But what I wanted to say about today, I discovered at UC Berkeley on the Life Science Building on the northwest corner. Oh, my God. It's National Treasure's 47th page. It's the Philosopher's Stone and the Holy Grail. It's got hieroglyphics in that corner. It used to be an entrance. and it's behind bushes now. But anyway, it shows it's got an urn with a man pointing the urn with three fishes on. This is an Egyptian style. And then he points to it, and the next, there's an owl, and then there's a stone or an egg, which is that holy grail, which is that philosopher's stone. And then you got the golden kid there with the stuff coming out of his head, which would be Horus, next to the god Osiris. You won't even believe this, because you know what I realized? They've got stuff on all those old buildings. It's just like Roslyn Temple in Scotland. In case we have no more books and we forget.
How are you celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Pardon?
How are you celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Oh, well, this goes with it. Today's the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is water, which is spirit. And Martin Luther King was all about getting in the divine. And on that building, too, are water symbols. So Martin Luther King would be all over it. And if he were here with me right now, he'd be mirroring spirit over
this. He would. Do you think Martin Luther King Jr. would think that I, Vontae Hill, would be in the zone, locked in? How would he appreciate Shasky and I and us being in the zone?
Well, you know what? When you've had the gift, you can tell who's mirroring. This is all electromagnetic. You mirror like mirrors. That's how you're brothers and sisters of it. That's how you have a oneness. He would know immediately.
I love you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
I love you, Vontae, Tony. He's just got to go down on his knees a little.
You said that you love hieroglyphics. Can you name a hieroglyphic?
Probably not right now. I know the rap band. The hip-hop group, Hiro Day, Labor Day weekend. I know about that.
Do you know about the Rosetta Stone?
I don't know much about the Rosetta Stone.
The Eye of Horus.
I fell asleep in those classes. I think I did.
I find the Egyptian culture to be fascinating.
It is fascinating.
The Ankh.
Yeah, I'm all about sports nowadays, so I don't get much into hieroglyphics. Maybe if I have some downtime, maybe I'll get back into it. But I love me some Tony, man. Love me some Tony.
See you studying hieroglyphics.
I would study.
It's like you and the Mona Lisa.
Next vacation, hieroglyphics. I'm going to get me a book.
The Sphinx is overrated.
Do you know how to read hieroglyphics?
Nah, not really.
The direction you read is whatever direction they're facing. Fun fact.
Well, I didn't know that. You knew that? I didn't know that.
I'm happy with the pyramids of Giza.
No, thank you. Egypt has always fascinated me. I had an old friend on the school newspaper, the Guardsman, City College San Francisco. She used to write for the Chronicle, and she was living in Egypt for a long, long time. Her profile picture for many, many years was a Sphinx. So I used to grill her on Cairo, Egypt. I was like, well, what is it like? What is it like being out there, the pyramids? It looks surreal. I've seen pictures, take photos in front of, like, it's surreal. Like, I've always wanted to go to Egypt, so that is on my bucket list, to be honest with you. A little fun fact about Bonsai
Pyramids
Hill.
Are very, like, I don't think people really appreciate, like, how old the Great Pyramids are. Like, the thing I saw was, like, Cleopatra, the pharaoh queen of Egypt, was, like, born closer to us than she was to the construction of the pyramids. Like, that's how old those boys are.
I mean, if you really want to go down this rabbit hole, I have way more questions than I have answers, because the stones they used were from way far away, and how did they transport them there?
Manpower.
How did
they? Yeah, literally they had thousands and thousands of slaves doing it.
Not just that.
Like, no, it is. It's not aliens. Shasky.
I didn't say aliens.
Okay.
I didn't say aliens. But
don't get fired on the dark race.
No, I didn't say aliens. But their idea of the stars and their ability to track it is out of control. It's unbelievable. They were, when we say someone was way ahead of their time, they were so ahead of their time, it's not even funny.
I think we underestimate how there's smart people even back then. Isaac Newton.
Smart?
Very
smart.
We're talking
about brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliance.
Yes.
Who thinks people were dumb back then?
Well, have you ever heard of the Baghdad Battery?
No.
You never heard of the Baghdad Battery?
It's the Baghdad Battery.
They had their way of creating electricity back in the day. Yeah, out in the desert. It's incredible.
They came up with Fast Five there.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Now, 650, the other pyramids in Bonte has seen are the ones in Vegas. You're right about that. I've only seen those pyramids. I've always been fascinated with the pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee, where the Memphis Tigers played their games for many, many years. The old pyramid in Memphis is where Lennox Lewis fought Mike Tyson at the pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. But I've always wanted to see Egypt. You know, Africa's on my bucket list. There's no doubt. I want to go see what's going on. Fezzi, I've talked to him about maybe go to Africa this summer. Who knows? But Cairo, Egypt. Egypt, the Sphinx, the pyramids. Yeah, I'm fascinated by them.
Yeah. Look up next time you get a chance, Baghdad Battery. It's like this pottery thing, and they would take copper and iron, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a zinc or something like that. They would take different things, and they would rub them together, and they would, like, electrotherapy and this and the other. It would basically their version of electricity. This is thousands of years back.
Baghdad Battery sounds like a good rap group from Afghanistan.
That's actually not bad.
Thank you.
I love watching these archaeology digs that are on, like, the Disney Channel, because they've got the History Channel a part of it. And it's just, I love all that stuff. I find it fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And I'm telling you, I know you think it's just slaves. There is the amount of technology that they needed to cut, do all these stones. Even by hand, it would take generations to do. I don't know what they were using.
Ohio State, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, 8.5-point dogs, boys. Who you like tonight?
I like Notre Dame. Riley Leonard, let's go. Jeremiah Love, let's go.
Yeah,
I know
I like
you guys are all going to Ohio State, and it's the right smart choice.
I like the Buckeyes.
Ohio State to win. I don't know about points.
Covering.
Yeah.
I worry about Will Howard against that defense, quarterback for Ohio State. But they got so many. That defense of Ohio State is so damn good. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against them. Trying to pass the ball against that front. I like the Buckeyes in this one.
I think it's going to be a Buckeyes win, but I think Notre Dame will cover.
Are the Buckeyes wearing red? Do we know?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, could you look at it?
Somebody,
like,
talk. Somebody talk.
Back in the day, that, you know, obviously Notre Dame, every now and then, they'd be, when they were the home team, they would wear the green bowl game jersey. So I wonder what they're going to rock tonight.
My final thought overall, though, is help us, Josh Allen. You're our only hope. That's the end of my final thought.
Notre Dame's wearing blue. Ohio State's wearing white.
They are going to wear the dark blue.
But they might wear green. Who knows?
A guy who was linked to the Giants. Anthony Santander, career-high 44 home runs last year, in an agreement with the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays finally land somebody.
They got their guy.
Dude, we shouldn't be talking about here.
No, I'm giving them love.
The way we...
No, the Blue Jays, as the Giants have had it bad with free agents, the Blue Jays have had it pretty bad, too. So
it's understandable on why the Blue Jays will suffer. They're in Canada. Toronto. Nobody wants to live there in Toronto, even though it's one of the more beautiful cities in the world.
Your life is really difficult if you play American sports and you live in Canada.
You live in Canada.
It's so much harder than we understand.
It's just different, man. It's just different. But they get Santander. They get some power from the Baltimore Orioles. Of course, he was with the Orioles. But the Orioles are still stacked. They got so many players. They'll be back. They'll reload. All right, that's it for us. That's it for us on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. They got the brothers working, I know. Go to Matt DeHegan. Send them the tweets. Why was Bonte working on his day? All right, that was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices.